الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue, and today, before we continue, let's mention the date is the 20th of Safar 1433, which corresponds to the 14th of January 2012. And the discussion on Karamat al-Awliya continues. Now the Shaykh will go on to say, قوله وما يجري الله على أيديهم من خوارق العادات. صحيح عبد المجيد؟ That's where we stopped. نعم. And ما يجري يجري الله. Why did we say يجري الله and not يجري الله? Aren't you supposed to say Allah? Why يجري الله, not يجري الله? Why do you say سبحان الله and then you say Alhamdulillah? Okay, everybody knows the rule. Fine. But here there's no kasra, there's a ya. Same thing. So ما يجري الله, it's important in pronunciation. Some people, when they call the adhan, they don't make this distinction, so they wind up actually mispronouncing lafdhul jalala and the adhan. Right? Yes, it's a tafkheem and tarqiq. So you say, Allahu Akbar. Mm-mm. Allahu Akbar. You see what I'm saying? And so on and so forth. طيب. وما يجري الله على أيديه من خوارق العادات. So it is Allah Azza wa Jal who causes to happen through their hands, if you want to give the literal translation, of unusual events. يعني, and this is very important, this principle here, that it is Allah Azza wa Jal who does the thing. It is there only the tool through which that is being done. This is why you find that Jesus, Isa, whenever the ayat occurred in the Quran about his miracles, he would say, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that I will give life to the dead, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and I will do this, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by Allah's will and leave, so that you will not attribute the miracle to him, so that it is not himself who has done it, it is Allah who used him to show the miracles to the people, because it's Allah who makes miracles, and the human beings are the tools through which these miracles manifest. Very important principle, and this is a very technical point in da'wah to the Christians as well. And you tell them that this was, and notice, if you read the surah, you will find that every time he mentions something, he will say at the end of it, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, emphasizing that he is teaching the people tawheed. يعني عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام was very particular in teaching people tawheed, at least according to the Quranic description. But amazingly, even the biblical one, if you refer to the statements that are attributed to Jesus, not the ones that people said about him, what he himself said, you will find an identical message being conveyed to the people. Something about attaching people to the Creator and not having them attached to the creation. So he said, for instance, in John chapter 5 verse 30, listen to this now. I of myself can do nothing. I'm abd. I judge as I hear. What does that mean? Meaning you present a case to me, and I will make a judgment based on what you present. I don't know the unseen. I don't know the future. I don't know what you're hiding. So I cannot judge based on this, you know, knowledge of the unseen. No, I judge as I hear. But then just in case someone thought that he would kind of lean towards someone over the other because of some relation, he said, but my judgment is righteous. My judgment is righteous. I'm not going to take sides because of some other reason. Why? He said, for, meaning because, I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. Meaning it's the deen of Allah that I'm trying to establish here, not my own thing. So you get this verse from the Bible and you look at it in the light of the Quranic teachings and you find that this is the same message. But the Christians don't know this verse, because their priests don't want to quote this verse. Because if they did, they would think. And they would say, on the one hand, you're telling me that He's God, and now you're telling me that He can't do anything. So now you tell me about a God who can't do anything by Himself. It's not going to click. And then they will have to get philosophical and trying to explain to them how someone can be God, man, at the same time. And it's not going to click. And it will create a conflict for the missionaries and the priests and the pastors and all these people. So they don't make mention of these verses. And in fact, they tell the congregation often, don't read the Bible. We will do it on your behalf. We will quote the things which are relevant to our da'wah. And so they keep him like sheep, you know, chasing after them. But Allah gave us a mind, and He gave us the Quran for us to read it. Not only to say we don't read it, no, you read it, you relate to the message, you understand the message. And the things which are beyond you, Allah had decreed that there are scholars who clarify the ambiguous. But the message of the Quran in general is clear cut. Doesn't require any super intelligence. It is just right there. You believe in the pillars of faith, khalas. Huge difference between Islam and every other religion. But most people just don't understand. Now, خوارق جمع خارق. خوارق is the plural of خارق. And خارق, like خرق الشيء. When you say something خرق, is like when something rips through something. It rips it apart. It doesn't just go through it. It's like a very strong kind of penetration. Something penetrating something. So خارق is something that is way beyond the norm. يعني this is the norm, and this thing goes right through it. It's way far from being normal. It's very unusual. That's خارق. And the plural of خارق is خوارق. والعادات is جمع عادة. عادة is usually a habit, or it's something that is habitual. Obviously habitual. It has different meanings. Here, what does it mean? Event. Here it means event. Even the menstrual cycle of the woman is called al-'ada shahriya, because of it's an event which occurs monthly, or more or less. وهذه الكرامات لها أربع دلالات. That's a nice rhyme over there. وهذه الكرامات لها أربع دلالات. These karamat have four, they indicate four things. They suggest and indicate four things. أولا بيان كمال قدرة الله عز وجل. Clarifying and presenting the perfection of Allah's ability. The perfection of Allah's ability. حيث حصل هذا الخارق للعادة بأمر الله. That unusual event occurred by the will of Allah. Is anything going to occur without the will of Allah? So when something amazing happens, it's by the will of Allah. The greatness of the event indicates the greatness of the one who caused the event. That's why when people see something extraordinary, they see, like when you see the tsunamis, and you see suddenly a whole ocean becomes a huge wave, and it crashes onto the shore to the people. You say, Subhanallah. That's the natural reaction, because you, Subhanallah, because you know that Allah is the one who's making the earth, behave in this fashion. It is not doing it independently. So you don't say, Subhanal Mawja, glory be to this wave, and you don't magnify the wave. You magnify automatically, if you're a Muslim, that is, the creator of the wave. And because it's so amazing, then it shows you how amazing is the creator. And this is just something very small. When you see earthquakes or any tiny little thing that affects human beings in a devastating way, it shows you, the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. ثانيا, and the second thing, تكذيب القائلين بأن الطبيعة هي التي تفعل. Huh? This actually is a refutation or belying those who say that nature, call it Mother Nature. Huh? Mother Nature did this, and these things are not jokes. These are real. The kuffar really believe it's Mother Nature. In fact, some Christians go to the extent that they say, because God is loving, it is impossible that He is the cause of starvation and the cause of all these things. It's Mother Nature acting on its own. God had nothing to do with it. He's there to help you after the calamity, but He has nothing to do with the calamity. So now the Mother Nature is the second God, basically, for them. There's one God that is in control causing destruction, and the other one is the one that fixes the problem. Christendom, they come up with all kinds of things to justify their deviance. So they have no problem inventing things as they go along.
So Mother Nature has nothing to do with it. لأنه لو كانت الطبيعة هي التي تفعل. Because if nature, وعليكم السلام, if nature was independently doing things, لكانت على نسق واحد لا يتغير. It would have been in a uniform, not a uniform. Uniform, because you know uni from one, right? Is it?
Yes.
طيب. Then what is two?
Die.
Die or? Or buy.
Buy.
Bicycle. Right? إلى آخره. What is three?
Try.
Four?
Quadra.
أيوة quadra. أحسن quadruple. Or that's one of the things. The quadruple يعني four. I don't know if the pronunciation is very accurate. Anyways, so على uniform, على uniform. على نسق واحد لا يتغير. It'll be in uniform which does not change. على uniformي بالكسرة. فإذا تغيرت العادات والطبيعة دل على أن للكون مدبرا وخالقا. When events are not fixed, things happen in different ways that indicates that there's someone arranging the affairs and the creation. There's a creator behind it. Otherwise, everything would have been done in a systematic, consistent way. It wouldn't be this kind of, you know, different events having different consequences. ثالثا أنها آية للنبي المتبوع كما أسلفنا قريبا. That this karama is actually a sign. It's a sign for the prophet who preceded, or who that person, who the wali, his prophet. This is a sign for his prophet. Because it indicates that he is upon the right way, following that prophet. As we mentioned earlier, the Shaykh said, رابعاً, fourthly, أن فيها تثبيتاً وكرامةً لهذا الولي. It is means of fortifying and honoring, it's means of fortifying and honoring this wali. When these things happen.
قوله في أنواع العلوم والمكاشفات وأنواع القدرة والتأثيرات.
Now we're going to get even more technical now. Be careful. In all types of sciences and مكاشفات, unveiling. No, اكتشاف. Not استكشاف. مكاشفات, unveiling. وأنواع القدرة والتأثيرات. And all kinds of ability and effects. Effects. يعني, that means أن الكرامة تنقسم إلى قسمين. Karama is divided into two parts, two categories. قسم يتعلق بالعلوم والمكاشفات. Part related to science, you know, knowledge. Let's call it knowledge and unveiling. وقسم آخر يتعلق بالقدرة والتأثيرات. Another part related to ability and effect. أما العلوم, as for knowledge, فإنه يحصل للإنسان من العلوم ما لا يحصل لغيره. The person will have this vast ability or vast knowledge which others don't have. And so if you, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, is a classic example. Because they say that one of the ulama, and I don't remember the details of the story, but one of the ulama had went to Syria, because he was in Damascus. Waalaikum salam. Shukran akhi. And then he said, I heard about a young boy. His name is Ahmed. Ahmed ibn Taymiyyah. They said, yes, the merchants who had business or that grocery, something like that. He said, yeah, he walks by this way when he goes to school. Okay? So anyways, when he waited for him until he was walking along and they told him, this is him. And so he brought him. And he wrote for him. They used to take their own mini board, okay, on which they would write the things which they needed to learn. He erased whatever was on it, and he wrote for him 10 narrations, if my memory serves me, with the chain of narrators. And he told them, read it. And then he took it from him, and he told them, recite it. He recited it as he read it. One time. Then he went and he mixed them up. Anyways, he did this multiple times. And every time he would try to make things more difficult, Shaykh al-Islam would give him the answer on the spot. And so he said, if this man lives long, he is going to be something. He's going to be something. And he turned out to be something. At the age of 15, he was issuing fatawa. At the age of 18, afwan, he was issuing fatawa. And so Shaykh al-Islam became, and now the ulama say, any science of the deen
If you were to read the works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, you would say, oh, this is his field of expertise. Because you know how some people may have general knowledge and things, but they're good in one thing. Anything he dealt with, you will think that this is his specialty, even though it was not. He was specialized in everything in the deen. Walaikum salam. Tafsir, ilm al-hadith, al-rijal. Yani, he was an amazing person. And Imam Bukhari, how many narrations? Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, these ulama, they had amazing, amazing skills. This is actually a karama. This is a karama because Allah gave him knowledge, which if you and I were to spend the rest of our lives trying to accumulate, it just doesn't happen. We can't even memorize a hadith. A hadith. One. With one narrator and one reference. We have to look it up on, you know, somewhere. So what are we going to say? So these were some of the things. This is an example of uloom. وَأَمَّا الْمُكَاشَفَاتِ As for unveiling, فَإِنَّهُ يَظَرُ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ الَّتِي يُكْشَفُ لَهُ عَنْهَا مَا لَا يَحْصُرُ لِغَيْرِهِ He will be, some information will be unveiled to him that is not given to someone else. It is not unveiled to someone else. Now the Shaykh said, مِثَالُ الْأَوَّلِ الْعُلُومِ Okay? So, now he's given us an example, but not in the area which I mentioned. Not in the area of one whose ability to memorize is just vast. Even though this is one of the karamat of the awliya, because this is a gift, it's a gift from Allah. It's not like, you know, when he was a kid, he was, you know, studying a particular thing that helped him increase his memory. Now they tell you, eat zabib, you know, eat raisins and eat this and that to increase your memory. No, this was natural. But listen to what happened to Abu Bakr. مثال أول علوم ما ذكر عن أبي بكر أن الله أطلعه على ما في بطن زوجته الحمل أعلمه الله أنه أنثى أبو بكر Allah made him know and there were no ultrasounds back then Allah made him know what يعني the gender of the child his wife was pregnant with and that it was a female there was no means for them to find that out then but he knew ومثال الثاني as for the مكاشفات المكاشفات the second example ما حصل لأمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه what happened to him حين كان يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة على المنبر he was delivering the sermon the Friday khutbah on Jumu'ah and he was on the minbar فسمعوه يقول يا سارية الجبل they heard him saying oh سارية the mountain If someone given a khutbah, in the middle of the khutbah, he screams, Oh, Sariya. Sariya is someone's name. The mountain. فَتَعَجَّبُوا مِنْ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ They were amazed by this speech. What is the relevance of this with the khutbah? ثُمَّ سَأَلُوهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ Then they inquired about that. فَقَالْ إِنَّهُ كُشِفَ لَهُ عَنْ سَارِيَ بْنِ زُنَيْمِ It was unveiled to him the affair of Sariya ibn Zunaym or Zunaym. وهو أحد قواده في العراق. He was one of the leaders that were, made to be leaders in Iraq. Deployed, isn't that the word? Dispatched, deployed, yeah. Depleted, whatever. وأنه محصور من عدوه. And he was surrounded by his enemy. ساريا is in Iraq. He's surrounded by the enemy. فوجهه إلى جبل. So he guided him towards a mountain. وقاله يا ساري الجبل من أو ساري go to the mountain because the enemies are attacking him. No, that's not only that. فسمع ساري صوت عمر. ساري heard Umar's call. First, Umar called out to ساري and ساري heard him. And he's in Iraq. And he was probably in Medina. وان حاز إلى الجبل وتحصن به. And he actually moved towards the mountain and he used it as a fortress. As a fort. هذه من أمور المكاشفات لأن أمر واقع لكنه بعيد. This is مكاشفات. Something that is, it is real, but it is unusual. It happened unusual. Not everyone is Umar ibn al-Khattab. The average Sufi is not. The average Sufi is already misguided. Already he started on the wrong foot. So when you're on the wrong foot, you're not a wali. And if you're not a wali, anything you do which supposedly resembles that is usually from the shayateen. Just like with Sulaiman, one of the ifrit min al-jinn, he said, I'll bring you the throne of Balqis. I'll bring it to you before you get up from your place. Then the one who would give a knowledge is said, before you blink your eye. Sahih? before the, you blink your eyes. So how was the ifrit of jinn going to go from wherever Sulaiman was all the way there and bring a arsh, arshun azim, a huge throne? Because the jinn were given such abilities. They used to build things for Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. So the Sufis are working actually with shayateen, whether they know it or not. He may think he's in some spiritual ecstasy, but he is in deviance, ultimately. Why? Because it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And Umar was not a Sufi, and he was not innovating in the dhikr, nor was he dancing like they dance, nor was he going to the grave of someone and calling on him. None of the things that they do now in the name of Islam did any of the Sahaba do for them to say, well, we are like them. Well, they got this and we got that, it just doesn't happen this way. أما القدرة والتأثيرات, as for ability and effect. فمثل ما وقع لمريم من هزها لجذع النخل وتساقط الرطب عليها. This is similar to what happened to Maryam when she عليه السلام رضي الله عنها, when she shook the trunk of the palm tree, and so it dropped some fresh dates on her. ومثل ما وقع للذي عنده علم من الكتاب, and like what happened with the one who had knowledge of the book, حيث قال لسليمان عليه السلام, he said to سليمان عليه السلام, أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك, I will bring that throne to you before your the blink of the eye is done. يعني يرتد إليك طرفك, meaning you blink it before you're done, it will be there. That's like a split second, not even a split second, it's less than a split second. Yeah, it's pretty fast. You know, it depends on how bad you blink. قوله والمأثور عن سالف الأمة, عن سالف الأمم عفوا في سورة الكهف وغيرها, عن صدر هذه الأمة من الصحابة والتابعين وسائر فوق الأمة. And what has been narrated to us from the Umam, the nations which preceded us and others, and the first generation of the Sahaba, then the Tabi'in and others. الكرامات موجودة فيما سبق من الأمم. These كرامات actually existed in nations that preceded us. ومنها قصة أصحاب الغار الذين انطبقت عليهم الصخرة. The people of the cave, not أصحاب الكهف. غار and كهف are usually the same thing. But this one is who? The three who were taking refuge in a cave because of rain, and a stone blocked their way. It rolled and blocked their way. Then they made dua. They did tawassul. By who? Tawassul through who? Through good deeds. Notice they didn't do tawassul through their prophet. They didn't say, oh Allah, we ask you by the prophet fulan to take. No. They said they did it by their deeds. And this is one of the evidences that Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah use against the other people who claim that tawassul is mashru', it is legislated through the Prophet ﷺ or through the Salihin. Because here, these people were in dire need of tawassul, and the only thing they did tawassul through was their good deeds. One of them was dutiful to his parents, you know the story. Another one, he left alone this woman after he had access to her, his cousin. And the third one, he gave the worker his full right without taking any of it unjustly. And so as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal alleviated that affliction which had befallen them. المهم وموجودة في عهد الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. And these karamat were found at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. كقصة أسيد بن حضير, like the story of Usaid. وتكثير الطعام عند بعض الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. And the fact that food multiplied among some of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. وموجودة في التابعين, and it exists among the followers of the Sahaba. مثل قصة صلة بن هشيم الذي أحيى الله له فرسه. Like that man whom Allah Azza wa Jal caused his horse to come back to life after it had died. And he used it until he made it home. And when he made it home, he said, remove the saddle because this is it's alone. And as soon as they removed the saddle, the horse dropped dead. Because it had died before. But he made dua to Allah and Allah caused his horse to come back to life. This is a karama which happened in the early generations. Yaqul Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah fi kitab al-Furqan. Shaykh al-Islam says in his book Al-Furqan, what is Furqan? Criterion. وَهَذَا بَابٌ وَاسِعٌ. This is a vast chapter. They don't mean a door. They don't mean the literal door. It's a door as in because you enter to the discussion. Oh, alaykum salam, or the subject matter. Okay, next thing you have to bring some sandwiches, man. Bring a water and juice and like that. طيب.
قد بسط الكلام على كرامات الأولياء في غير هذا الموضع. The extensive discussion or elaboration on the karamat al-awliya has been discussed in another place. يعني not in the book of العقيدة الواسطية. I just touched upon it. If you really want to read if you really want to distinguish between the Sufi way and أهل السنة والجماعة way, you need to get your hands on the book Al-Furqan. بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. I don't think it's available in English. It is. The whole thing. Nice. Where? Dar es Salaam? ما شاء الله. Well, there you have it, guys. It's better than I expected. The book is available in English. Alhamdulillah, get your hands on it. Because if you really want to know more about this, or you face this back home with your, you know, with the local people, and this is a fitna for them, you really need to know your stuff. Okay, you really need to know your stuff. That book doesn't really touch upon it as much as you want it to do so. على كل حال. وأما ما نعرفه نحن عيانا ونعرفه في هذا الزمان فكثير. The Sheikh said, as to that which we know, يعني per our own observation, we've seen it with our own eyes, and that which is in our time, that's abundant. يعني at the time of Sheikh al-Islam, the karamat were abundant, some of which he has seen with his eyes, and some of which were known and famous during that time and in that generation, which is the sixth or the seventh generation after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قوله وهي موجودة فيها إلى يوم القيامة. And that shall, it exists until the day of resurrection. The karamat al-awliya shall remain until the day of resurrection. والدليل على أنها موجودة إلى يوم القيامة سمعي وعقلي. The evidence that it shall remain until the resurrection, until the day of resurrection, سمعي and عقلي. What does that mean? سمعي. Yes. From which word? سمع. To hear. Why? Because initially, the Quran and the Sunnah were oral. Oral. It wasn't something written. It wasn't a kitab. It became a kitab, or it was kitab with Allah Azza wa Jal. But when it came down orally. And it was memorized orally before it was recorded in the book. Same thing with hadith. So they say sam'i because the asal is that you hear it. Before you read it, you hear it. Aqli, from aql, which is intellectual, rational, logical, whatever word you want to use. So we have textual evidence, and we have logical evidence that it will remain until the day of resurrection. The Shaykh will elaborate. أما السمعي, as for the textual, فإن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر في قصة الدجال أنه يدعو رجلا من الناس من الشباب. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he told us in the story of the Dajjal that he will invite a young man, a young man among the shabab. Ya'ti, he will come to him. وَيَقُولُ لَهُ, and he will say to him, كَذَبْت. And this man will say to the Dajjal, you have lied. You have lied. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ الْمَسِيحُ الدَّجَّال. Because he will claim rububiyya. He will claim to be Allah, al-Masih al-Dajjal. He will say, you're verily the false Messiah, الذي أخبرنا عنك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, about which the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told us. We know who you are. فيأتي الدجال فيقتله قطعتين. The Dajjal will come and he will kill him, splitting him into two parts, splitting the man in half. فيجعل واحدة هنا وواحدة هنا رمية الغرض, يعني بعيد ما بينهما. He will actually part them away from each other, put them away from each other. ويمشي بينهما, and then he will walk in the middle. You know, like the way the magicians now, what they do is on stage, they want to put on a show, they do something like that. The Dajjal will cause some fitna to the minds of people, man. The Shia would be right there enjoying it. Hey. ثم يدعوه, then he will call him. فيقوم يتهلهل. The man will come, you know, with energy. After he split him in half, and he walked in between, he will call him and the man will be revived. Why? Why?
Temptation?
Allah, it's a test from Allah. Everything is a test from Allah. Who gave him? Do you think that Dajjal got his power from an independent source? Did he do it? It's Allah who already told us that he will have such powers. See, no, it's not happening, even though he's evil. Just like the shaitan. If Allah will, the shaitan can't whisper anything to us. But Allah allowed him. And he allows him to continue to whisper. It's part of the plan. Why? Because we are being tested. It's about a test. And if one does not understand this principle correctly, they will always criticize. They will say, why and why? Because it's a test. And, you know, this is what happened to the Christians. They say, you're saying that Jesus wasn't crucified. And so you're saying that God tricked the people. Because he made it appear like he was crucified. When he wasn't crucified, so all these people for 600 years did not know until the Quran was revealed. So God deliberately, he, you know, misled the people. We say, no, you don't understand the issue of test. It is a test for everyone. Those who believe firmly, those who believed in Jesus. And let's say even if they believed in crucifixion, because no knowledge clarifying the matter was given to them, Allah will not hold them accountable for that. Because they're being tested. For the other people, they're being tested. Everything is a test. Until the end of time. ثُمَّ يَدْعُوهُ لِيُقُرْ لَهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ Then he calls him so that he will acknowledge servitude. فَيَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ مَا كُنْتُ فِيكَ أَشَدُّ بَصِيرَةً مِنِّي الْيَوْمِ The man will say, I had never been more certain and more, upon more insight than I am concerning you today. Meaning that which you have done to me, it actually is a manifestation of what the Prophet ﷺ said. So you further proved that you are the Dajjal. So it backfired. It backfired. فَيُرِيدُ الدَّجَّالُ أَنْ يَقْتُلَهُ فَلَا يُصَلَّتُ عَلَيْهِ The Dajjal will try to kill him. He will not be given any authority over him. He won't be able to kill him again. And in some of the narration says that he throws him into what appears to be a fire, and it will be Jannah. For this man, this will be among the best shuhada of the ummah.
فهذه أي عدم تمكن الدجال من قتل ذلك الشاب من الكرامات بلا شك.
The Dajjal being unable to kill him again is a karama for that man. Is a karama for the young man. Because he had just split him in half earlier, and now he's trying to kill him, he can't kill him anymore. So Allah Azza wa Jal will protect his wali in this particular fashion.
وَأَمَّا الْعَقْلِ As for the logical and evidence, فيقال ما دام سبب الكرامة هي الولاية فالولاية لا تزال موجودة إلى قيام الساعة.
The logical explanation is, look, if the reason behind the existence of the karama is the existence of the wilaya, meaning the wali, then we know that walis will remain until the end of time, which means, by default, that the karama will remain until the end of time. Yani they say if A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. Because there's a common, they're all equal to each other in this sense. So if karama exists because of wali, and wali exists until the end of time, karama must exist until the end of time. And we mentioned before that this does exist up until today. It happens in different forms, and you know, some of which you may hear about, some of which you may not, some of which may become popular, some of which may not, and so on and so forth. And some of which are false and fake. And they're not really karamat. There's something totally different done in the name of Islam, some of which you can find on YouTube. And truthfully speaking, we're done with the chapter on karamat al-awliya. And we're moving on to a new chapter, and here comes the very critical question of whether we should or we should not embark upon this mission here, which is the chapter on the practical methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the practical application of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I believe it would be nice to postpone it to next time, and we'll discuss something else inshallah in the time remaining. So with this we conclude the dars of today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.